Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. I'm David Gibson, and I'm here with Diane Mandel. Hi, Diane.
Hi, it's Diane.
Oh, Diane. I'm sorry. Yeah, Diane.
No problem.
My girlfriend's name's Diane. So, Diane, great. Welcome. You know, what we do normally is we start with a intention, and what I do is I hold that energy whenever you're talking or whenever I think about it. And the intention that Diane thought of today is clarity of mind. So let's first we'll tune into that energy, clarity of mind, and that frequency. It's interesting. It's real. It's very high frequency, and it seems to kind of just wash over from my third eye down.
Well, it's a reflection of where I am right now. It's such a pure, a blissfully clear day. I can see the outline of the moon, and up here at Shasta, with you know the white of the mountain against the deep blue sky,
ooh,
and the vibrant colors. It's all about purity and clarity.
Nice. Okay, so tell us about what you do. The reason we have Diane on today is she's going to be doing a Tibetan bowl concert with a lot of other sacred instruments at the Sound Healing Institute here in San Francisco tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. If you're interested, you can give us a call at 415-777-2486. That's 415-777-2486. Or you can get tickets online at the soundhealingcenter.com. So tell us, I want to find out about the concert, but also my understanding is you do work with natural instruments for healing purposes as well. And so tell us about your background and what you do.
I was trained originally as a polarity practitioner, so working with energy balancing, and then on the East Coast, I ran into my teacher who I worked with for about 2 years, learning about the sacred sound instruments, and moved, and I combined polarity and sound, and I moved to California about 8 years ago, and I started a private practice there, and I was working in my private practice for about 4 years and decided that the modality was so powerful that I really wanted to bring it and do more education. I found that there were a lot of people who were using the instruments who just got a bowl, who didn't know the difference between an old bowl and a new bowl and couldn't hear the difference. And I've been to Tibet and Nepal several times, and I guess I have to say I'm pretty traditional in how I do what I do, and so I wanted to pass that information on, and which is what started the concerts. Ironically, concerts with these instruments are not traditional at all. However, they serve a purpose, and it was an adaptation of using these instruments in a way to really do a lot of education. So I had been doing that for several years and integrated a light projection because light is sound made manifest, and it just felt like it was a really great way to help people to come down and to get into present moment in a manner through where we're so visually centered in the West that it was a way to just help the egoic mind and help the brain settle down into the sound when that started. Over the last few years, I've been working with clients with more and more conditions, and this year I'm working several times a month at the San Diego Cancer Center, and that has just been the most wonderful experience working with cancer patients.
Tell us about what you do in your treatment. Kind of walk us through a treatment to give us an idea of the procedures you do and how you work.
Well, I always start off with a centering and a visualization, a guided visualization into the heart in order to create, for the client to create an intention. And that intention rather than coming from the brain, wanted to come from a very present moment type place. So we do some breathing and do a guided visualization around the heart. And then together we create the intention in present moment as though it was already happening. Then from there I ask them to get on the mat. We do some breathing, and I do some polarity work with them, which is different pressure points, different polarity is a combination of a little craniosacral, a little some pressure points, some reflexology. So it's some hands-on work where I'm touching the person and bringing their energy down into their feet and helping to ground them. From there, I start, depending on what they need, but creating patterns of sound, some of which I will repeat throughout the treatment, because we learn by repetition, because the brain needs something to do so that it can just relax and let us completely open to what else is happening. So I do a series of, I use sacred geometry and I use different rhythmic patterns.
How do you use sacred geometry?
Well, in the patterns of sound that I'm playing,
mm-hmm.
I play them either in triads, creating star patterns or spiral patterns or whatever patterns I feel that those people are needing. Actually playing the bowls in those patterns, or with my hand in one bowl, playing the instruments and creating the patterns of sacred geometry over that person.
Are you creating it based on the different notes from different bowls or from rhythmical patterns?
I don't work with necessarily different notes. The difference between, and this is something that a lot of Westerners don't really, are undereducated about. A lot of people are really interested in this note, that chakra. With the Tibetan bowls, the whole point of the Tibetan bowls is the voidness teachings, which purport the interrelationship of all things. And so if we can think of the bowls as white light, where every note contains every other note, I don't really think that it's absolutely necessary to think about what note goes with what energy center or what part of the body, because every bowl is going to encompass the whole body, mind, heart.
So as far as creating sacred geometry, then if you don't use different notes, do you use different rhythmical patterns to create the sacred geometry?
Well, you know, this is really a hard thing to explain verbally about what I'm doing, but I will create triads of sound.
Triad is just like a three-note chord, right? Is that what you mean when you say triad?
A triad is a three-note, but it's also a pattern. It's like, the Star of David. It might be ear, crown. Depending where the apex of the triangle going up or going down, creating masculine energy or feminine energy, or interrelating the two, I would say, pyramids with one apex going up and one going down, so that they are forming a star or the tantric.
So you're kind of visualizing, or that, not really visualizing, or those kind of patterns just come to you through spirit? Is that the way it works?
Well, I've studied some. It's my knowledge base, and it's a structured knowledge based practice of using different patterns. I mean, the sign of infinity is a sign that has been used to create balance, and so that's a pattern that I use over somebody's body if they are feeling, if it feels like I need to do that. It depends what I'm doing.
You know,
if someone is very tight and I want to work with expanding their energy outward, I might use patterns of a spiral, and I'll use it. I will actually create those patterns with the different bowls on their body and around their body.
Right, just by moving the bowls around their body?
I don't move the bowls at all. I move myself. I have them all placed, and I move myself around it.
Oh, so you move your whole body around in a figure eight pattern? To create the infinity, I'm just...
it's getting really... I think you have to see it.
Okay.
To understand.
Yeah,
it's getting...
I'm not trying to... My main interest really is, at the school here, we've got like 15 instructors, and we have a lot of instructors that do similar work, and in fact, I do similar work as well. And I've had a lot of discussions with different instructors about the amount of structure, the amount of mental, and not that mental is bad, because there are certain techniques that work, and mental being connected to spirit is great, versus just having spirit tell you totally what to do. And it's, and so I'm just kind of just curious. I mean, I was just curious how... since of the different techniques you do, I was just interested so I could, learn from it, and also so our listeners can learn from it as to different techniques that people can learn to do.
It is like playing any instrument. You learn the fundamentals, you learn some structure, and it becomes second nature. And so with that second nature, understanding the principles of Tibetan Buddhism and how they relate to the instruments, in that way, you can use those principles as foundations and then work from a place of deep intuition. I'm always completely in present moment. It's never cerebral, but I do have some basic structural principles that I have learned that I worked with. The same as, I think, in any, in polarity, there were certain moves that we would do, and once you know that, and once it's ingrained, then you move and you dance with those things, depending on who is there with you.
I was kind of curious as to, I just didn't understand what you were doing with the sacred geometry or with the infinity pattern, and I was just curious as to what, because I didn't understand that. Can you give me an idea of what you're actually doing to create like those patterns?
Well, I'll tell you about the infinity pattern.
Okay, cool.
And I have a very, very detailed in terms of structure and detailed in terms of the mindset of a healer book that is available that I'll give you, really take you through this in a way. It just doesn't do it justice. I'm talking to you about a technique, and that's all it is right now when I'm telling you this is what I'm doing. If somebody takes a bowl and does the infinity pattern over someone and doesn't have all the rest of it, the energetically understanding what they're doing, they're just doing some technique, and it can, just be, probably be a little bit useful, but without a knowledge base and understanding the energetics and being in the energetics of it, I don't think it does at all the same thing. So what I'm describing, you want to know what I'm doing, so I'm going to tell you the technique of it. For example, someone is lying on the floor, and I hold a bowl in my hand, and I will strike the bowl as I am. And in this case, my body is also swaying. I will also create the infinity pattern over their body. So it's a very simple thing, but very, very grounding and balancing, and the person can hear the sound of the bowl that moves in that pattern around them. It's very soothing as well.
I see. So you're just swaying. I see. Cool. That's cool. I wasn't really trying to pin it down to a technique. I was just curious as to, be able to add different techniques to the classes and to share with people what you're doing. So obviously the main thing is really connecting to spirit and bringing in that because spirit's like much smarter than us. And so
it's not just connecting to spirit. I think when you just connect to spirit, you are a lot of people, I think, in the West do that, and I think they dishonor the tradition from which different instruments. I'm not only talking about Tibetan instruments. I'm talking about in general. I think it's really important to honor the tradition and the energy from which and the culture from which any instrument is brought. So I think it's very important to understand some of the things about Tibetan Buddhism, how the energy and the philosophy of Tibetan Buddhism interacts with the sound healing techniques, should we say, that you're doing, and then let spirit work through that. But I really don't ascribe to the school of just get with a bowl and, you know, do your thing, because it seems like it's dishonoring and
just not as much information too.
Yeah, I think the more knowledge you have, the more improvisation, I would say, or the more
avenues for spirit to come through.
That's right.
Yeah. So of the different traditions, what are the range? You mentioned one is Tibet and Buddhism. What are some of the other traditions? Which will kind of lead us into what is all instruments do you use? I don't even know.
Oh, I basically use the Tibetan instruments. I use the gong, I use the bowls, the tingshas, the gantas, and then I do polarity work. I also do, I didn't mention, I do work, and this comes more from the tradition of polarity, visualizations, depending on what the person needs, guided visualizations during the once they're in a deep trance state, I will work with them with words and with a guided some guided imagery to help call up and strengthen certain aspects of their being that are in need of that.
Mm-hmm. So what are some other traditions that you, based on the instruments you use, you use a lot besides like Buddhism and such?
Well, the instruments that I'm using are instruments that come from the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, so that's what I'm using when I'm working with sound.
Okay.
And when I'm working with polarity, I'm working with the energy, you know, the difference. It's not so much that I'm doing polarity work, which is a different kind of, but a very, very complementary type of energetic work.
So it is mostly Tibetan. So what do you, can you share some of the experiences that you've had in your treatments?
Oh, yeah. Just recently, I just had which is very, very exciting to me, I had a physician who has cancer come for a series of treatments, and I really love getting people who are into a more traditional type of medicine, first of all because I love that they're widening their parameters and their understanding of healing, and also because I think they become the greatest ambassadors in the mainstream. So he came, and after the second session, he said that he couldn't feel his lymph nodes anymore, and that he was feeling as though he didn't have cancer anymore. And after four sessions, he went back to the cancer center. He had a series of I haven't heard because I left. I went on tour, but he went to the cancer center to work with the main doctor there. In consultation, and he felt that whatever his symptoms were, they had diminished so much that he was even considering not doing that because he felt so good. So that for me is just a wonderful. What's most important for me when I'm working with someone is to transfer the onus and the responsibility of healing to that person as quickly as possible, to really help the person see through the ambassadors of compassion, who I say those are the bowls, through allowing them to get an experience of their own divine nature, to be able to see and experience and feel themselves in their perfection. And that creates a foundation for them to be able to it's like they, when they feel that and they understand that, they feel that they've got a home base from which to go through the rest of their lives and go through whatever treatment they might need. So they greatly, greatly strengthen in confidence. They greatly strengthen in hope. And it has changed a lot of the chemical imbalances. I worked with someone who had chronic fatigue syndrome and was completely incapacitated. For 2 years, she was bedridden, and she couldn't even get up to go from her bed to the bathroom. She had to use a wheelchair. Within 6 sessions of working together, she moved out of her house, which was her mother's house. It was very toxic, into her own apartment, and I continued to see her there for about 2 months. And during that time, she got to walk again. She was cooking her own meals. She wasn't accepting anybody's help to do, you know, day-to-day things. And the last I heard of her, she was going out, and she was starting to do talks about healing from chronic and traumatic, you know, condition. So the bowls were very, very instrumental in helping her to get a ground stay and a foundation in who she really was, because the whole basis is to anchor us to our memory of well-being.
Uh-huh.
And that's basically what I'm doing with people, is helping them to anchor to their memory of well-being through repetition, through creating patterns that they can recognize that will work in conjunction with their cellular memory.
So how much do you feel the healing is? It sounds like there's a few different components here. There's the actual sound of the bowl, which has its own magical power just on its own, you know, that creates a certain frequency. It has natural harmonics that are come from the energy of the person that designed the bowl and made the bowl in the first place, and that energy is in there. Then there is the different components from the different traditions, and also the patterns that you create. And then there's also your energy, and then there's also the intention that you are bringing through for everybody.
Holding. I'm not bringing the intention. I'm holding their intention.
Holding their intention. So of those, how much do you feel the sound itself? I mean, how do you feel that the sound itself works? Or being a little...
Are you really looking for a percentage point?
Well, you know, I was going to say, just for fun, I was kind of looking, because I am curious. I mean, because there is a question, you know, as to... because there's a lot of people that just do healing without sound at all. Of course, you know, I'm being having a sound school and being into it so deeply. I believe that sound adds a major component, because it adds that physical component. And so I'm kind of curious. I mean, what is your feeling as to which parts play more into it? I mean, because it's just interesting. Because the reason I think this is important is because I've been looking. I've hooked up with Dr. Gary Schwartz from the University of Arizona, and we're talking about doing research in his lab there because he does research on energy healing. And so the first thing I wanted to do, if you start doing research, is you start breaking down the components of what you do to try to see. And then, you know, of course, there's only because the goal here is to really show and prove, because we know intuitively, and there's, I mean, the work we're doing is really, the work you're doing is incredible. It's really making major changes. But the more we can bring that, the research to it, then the more we can bring it into the mainstream and not have people like, you know, silly people from the medical field that are saying, well, if you don't have proof, then it doesn't work, you know. And so that's why I start looking at the different components, because that's what research is going to do.
Let me just say that sound of the bowls is one kind of sound that is powerful and which very quickly creates a relationship of trust, brings a person into a place of safety and trust. But sound is also our words. Sound is also the patterns of thoughts that are words that we have, that we carry around in our head and we repeat over and over and over. So I don't want to take those and say that, you know, the energy of words and the visualizations where I use words and a quiet voice, I think that is also sound. The sound of our own voice, the sound of the thoughts and the words that we speak to ourselves. Those are things that are being impacted. What's happening, though, is I think that the sound of the instruments, the instrument of the bowl versus the instrument of our own voices, is creating that ground state, that foundation of trust in which people can then become a better witness to their consciousness. And from that place, they can begin to become aware of the words that they're using in relationship to themselves and the words of the people around them. They can start to change, knowledge is power, so they can start to make changes in their everyday life, in around the people that are around them. I've seen so many people as they are growing in their consciousness, they're losing their friends because they've been with a circle of friends that puts them down all the time, and they're not that small anymore. So there's a lot of shifts that happening, some of them from the bowls, some of them from words, some of them from the energy that I bring, no doubt, and a lot of it from their own deep desire to be well.
Nice. I'm working on, in the middle of a book called The Sound of Love.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the chapters in the book is about sounds inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
What I've listed is all the different, I mean, I'm really, one of my big things is your soul root frequency. I talk about that a lot. But there's also the frequencies from, you know, energy around us. And then there's the sound of emotions. And then there's the sound, the reason I brought this up is because you talked about the sound of words. And I think one of the largest sounds in us that is discordant is the sound of our thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, I was just listening to a talk by Patricia Cota Robles last night, and she was saying that there's about four main things that you have to quiet. She was saying you got to get them quiet. First was the emotions. You have to quiet the emotions in us, and that often means releasing them. And then quiet the mind, which is what we're just talking about. And then she said, interesting one that I hadn't heard before, quiet the spirit from our past lives that is churning inside of us.
That's what I would call the cellular memory. I would call that the cellular memory, but I understand that completely, what she's talking about. I agree with that.
Great. So that's...
I sometimes call that the backseat driver of our life, that which we are unconscious of, but which is really a driving force in how we behave.
Nice. So often the way I think of it is that the bowls, just adding to it, to what you're saying is... I think of it as a consistent frequency. Technically, there's a few things going on with the bowls. There's a phasing that is actually created, which actually affects the inner ear and the way the sound moves from ear to ear. It kind of seems to float around the room. That's actually affecting our equilibrium and that's a very deep way that it gets into our system. Not to mention the fact that the eardrum is connected directly to the vagus nerve that goes to every organ in the body except the spleen, directly. So there are those aspects. Of course, you know, there's the other aspect of the bowl that is just the cymatic patterns that are transmitted from the sound directly into the water molecules inside your body.
Absolutely. And that's what makes a lot of people will come into the contest, which incidentally I'm going to have to sign off because I have to go and set up. But
Before you go, I wanted to see, tell us like one little second as to what about the concert.
Oh, the concert begins with a wonderful projection of beautiful colored moving lights. And I begin also by telling in story form the story of Sarasvati. And then I work into the instruments. People are with their eyes closed and are lying down. And I then go into a bit of a story about the bowls, also in a storytelling kind of way, which then kind of just drifts off into the sounds of the bowls, the gongs. I have play a moon gong and a wind gong and the bowls, the gantas, the tingshas, and different percussive instruments that I have. And it's just very lovely. And that's what I'm doing tonight, and that's what I'm looking forward to doing at your place tomorrow. And I hope people will come. I'm wondering if I could just mention my website for more information.
Sure. Absolutely.
Would that be okay?
Yes.
Okay, so that would be www.soundenergyhealing.com. And there's a lot of information on there about several, I've written several books on the subject. And you're welcome to have a look. And I just want to thank you so much for having me. And that's been a really interesting conversation. And I'm looking forward to meeting you tomorrow.
Great. Well, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate your work.
Okay. You take care.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Clarity of mind. It's interesting. When we talk about clarity of mind, I've been thinking about this a lot because, you know, one of my main interests is a lot of my learning has come from the teachings of Alice Bailey, which is Master D.K., I don't even know how to pronounce it, Dwajul Kuel, or something like that. Kuel is his last name. And so she channels this master. And it's also the teachings of the Ageless Wisdom, which has come from a lot of various people, including Madame Blavatsky from back in the 1800s, and also Benjamin Krem channels some of that information. There's just a lot of masters that bring in this similar information. And what they talk about a lot is the different initiations that we go through over, sometimes over many, many, many lifetimes. To get to the second initiation, it often can take hundreds of lifetimes, because that's the big one, is when you get to the second initiation. And the first initiation is just getting on the path. The second initiation is getting control of your emotional body. What that means is your emotions are not, let me put it this way, you're not on the roller coaster of your emotions anymore. Instead, you are in your center, and your emotions, they can still happen, you can still have emotions, but you aren't them. You aren't them. Because we all have emotions, you know, even the Dalai Lama's got emotions, you know. It's just you are not on that roller coaster, you are watching them, and then hopefully have them pass right on through and let go of them, you know. But I know, like God, I'm sure even with the Dalai Lama, if someone dies, or, you know, there's a certain amount of emotion that's going to come through, you know. So that's the first or second initiation. And then the third initiation, which often happens soon after that, maybe even in the next lifetime, and it might take hundreds of lifetimes to get to the second initiation, and then the third initiation happens almost right after that. Although, as a lot of people are saying, this whole timeline is changing drastically, and that a lot of people are going to be going through these initiations very quickly over the next few years. The third initiation is getting the mental body in order, and that means being very mentally astute, being having clarity of mind. And it's interesting because there's a large number of people that believe that the mind is practically evil. You know, the mind is what keeps us from our heart. The mind is always getting in the way. So a lot of people believe that we should just get out of our mind. But that's what's interesting is that the third initiation is to actually go into the mind, but the mind connected to spirit. Because when you get into the mind connected to spirit, it's no longer this disconnect from the rest of our system. The problem with the mind is often it's got its own spin on things that is disconnected from the rest of our spirit. I can tell you of a psychedelic experience I had years ago, like 20 years ago. And in this experience, this woman I was with started spinning me out into well, actually, I was already spinning out on my mind, not really I was disconnected from myself. And she told me this story about this friend of hers that years ago, this friend of hers who was a guitar player. And years ago, not too many, like 3 or 4 years before, he had lost all of his fingers in an accident and was no longer able to play guitar. And she said that 3 days ago, this was 20 years ago, but 3 days ago, she told me this story, 3 days ago, when she 20 years ago when she told me this story, she said 3 days ago, that she was with him, and he kind of had this epiphany, and he picked up the guitar and started playing the guitar with the nubs of his fingers. And in that moment, when I was on psychedelics, this feeling came over me that totally connected my thoughts, the thoughts she was telling, to my core. And I just started weeping. Not so much because of the story, but just because I realized how disconnected I'd been from myself. And I finally got it of how important it is that each thought has a connection to the core. I don't know how else to put it other than to the core. I mean, you could say that it's got a connection to a real feeling, or a connection to nature in some way. Or it really has some real meaning. So, what I believe is, I really believe a lot that the biggest problem is people are afraid to think, because they think that if they think too much, they'll get out of their heart. The trick is to be able to think clearly so your mind doesn't take you out of your heart. That's the biggest problem, and that's about clarity of mind. And a lot of that has to do with just clear logic. Now, of course, logic only goes so far, of course. I mean, I'm not saying that your mind is the full connection, but because often to get to the next step, you have to use your mind to take you to the edge of the branch that you then cut off. And that's the basis of the whole movement of non-dual with Eckhart Tolle and Gangaji and Adi Ashanti. If you haven't checked out Gangaji or Adi Ashanti, I highly recommend them. The whole movement of non-dual is about quieting the mind, using the mind to take you to a place where it's a dead end. A lot of people use that technique in the field to take you to a dead end, so that your mind goes, oh, "I give up. Let's just be present now. Let's just be present now." So, that's the third initiation: is getting your mind in more order and being in the mental body, having that as your center. Then the fourth initiation is going into spirit. By the way, on the third initiation, there's a lot of work in the field of sound healing about how to use sound and music to access better clarity of mind, to help you with learning, and especially learning, a lot of work on learning. Of course, Don Campbell's work about the Mozart effect has shown that certain music will help you with learning. And it's often music that is not too repetitive. And when something is repetitive, your mind just goes to sleep. When something plays the same thing over and over, which is like trance music, your mind just goes, I got it. I know it's going to play the same thing over and over. I don't need to pay attention anymore. And so music that helps with learning is music that is not so repetitive, something that's changing quite often. If it changes too much, then you lose your interest. It's hard. For a lot of people, gets too hard to follow. It's just changing enough to keep your interest, to keep your mind awake. And then also, not too many low frequencies, a lot of high frequencies, like in classical music, because high frequencies activate, low frequencies relax or calm you down. What's nice is to have, when doing learning, is to have a calm body. So it's nice to have some low frequencies to calm your body, but high frequencies to still activate your mind. So some of that, this information comes from the work of Alfred Tomatis as well. And so there's a lot of work. There's also Jeffrey Thompson has figured out certain brainwave states. I believe it's in between alpha and theta that he figured out there's a certain brainwave state that drastically helps with the learning process. If anybody is interested in this area, especially helping kids with learning, let me know, because I'm looking to put together a school for kids with learning disabilities and kids without learning disabilities as well. So there's a lot of work in the field of sound healing about learning, not to mention the work of the program, the listening program that helps kids with learning disabilities. It actually takes classical music and rolls off the low frequencies more and more and more until it's just the highs, and then brings those low frequencies back in slowly over 20 minutes, and this gets rid of learning disabilities and helps with autism. So that's the third initiation. The fourth initiation is moving into spirit. Now, this is one of the most interesting areas because, you know, there's a lot of music that just puts me into spirit. Probably the main music that puts me into spirit, it's, at different times, different music will do it, is choral music. Music by Rachmaninoff. It's really it's what does it for me. Which is the oddest thing, I have to tell you, Pink Floyd does it for me too. Only certain Pink Floyd, but especially Pink Floyd in concert. Watching a Pink Floyd concert. And I think what mostly does it is, I hope I'm not getting too far out there for people, but the guitar playing of David Gilmour, because he's so emotional. Also, you know, I guess what does it for me a lot is a lot of sound healing music does not activate your third chakra at all. There's very little, in fact, very little sound healing music that also activates your will and your power. And often, especially with women, and it's not just my view, I've just heard this from a lot of healers, you know, and also that women often need to activate their power. So often, a lot of the music is creating peace. And, you know, I'm not I'm not bad vibing, you know, New Age music or sound healing music at all. It's all of it has its purpose, you know. But there's a lot of it that where there needs to be will activated. Because often you get off of a sound table or you listen to something that is very mellow and very centering and grounding, and you get off and you don't really feel like taking on the world, you know, or taking on a manifesting something because your power has not been activated. So I guess that's why when I listen to Pink Floyd, also Sylvina, who teaches here at the school and who is always in our concerts we do, Sylvina is a lot about power. She does extremely mellow, wonderful, healing sound, but she also does extremely powerful singing as well. Wah! You know, it's like, wah! You know, really powerful stuff. And it totally activates it, because when you get that power in yourself, and remember, there's power that overtakes others, and then there's power that doesn't overtake or dominate. There's your own power. There's when you can get your own power going in a way that is just energizing. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. So back to spirit. So I was talking about spirit. As far as, you know, connecting to spirit, somehow Pink Floyd does it, I guess, for me. I don't know. God, when I saw The Last Mimsy, that movie did it for me. There's a different aspect. I mean, different music does it. Often music with a lot of super high frequencies in it will do it. Music with angels in it, angel sounds, you know, or which I always think of as like a high-frequency choir or a women's choir. Some really pure voices, particularly women's voices, that are really pure, that will do it. It's interesting. It's interesting because if you have any music that totally connects you to spirit, just opens up that divine connection to the divine, email it to me at david@soundhealingcenter.com, because I'm wanting to start researching it more and more, because I'd like to really tune into it more and more, so because I know it's going to be different for different people. Okay. So there, the fourth initiation, they say that the crucifixion of Christ was actually an outward display of him going through the fourth initiation, him going into spirit. And it's an interesting initiation because it's pretty scary in that when you go into spirit in this initiation, you leave behind family. You leave behind friends. You leave behind the interweavings of all of your personal relationships, which can be really scary, I guess, because it's like, who am I? What am I going to do? I mean, you know, all my relationships kind of tie me down. Now, the interesting thing is, though, when you go into spirit, you connect with everybody at a soul level. So it's not a lonely place. The truth is, you are more connected to everybody than ever. Last week we did a meditation in the open house we did here at the school on being connected to everybody in the universe, to being in that place where we're all one. And it's interesting because, you know, of all the self-help CDs and all of the music, everything I've heard on trainings, very few. I don't hardly remember any of them. And there's probably some out there that I don't remember, but there's hardly any of them have techniques for bringing you into a place where you're one with everybody. It's not that easy for a lot of people. I know it's kind of difficult for me. It's not like a place I can go willfully at any time. I can bring in the divine love and connect to spirit, but to be one with everybody or to look at somebody and I mean, I know mentally we're one. I know we're one. You know, when I see one, I see anybody, I know we're one. But to feel it, to be in that place where we are one, that's where we're all headed. Everybody's been talking about raising consciousness. What we're talking about is raising consciousness until we get to a place where we are all one and we all know it. And there are three or four levels of initiation after that level. After your first step of going into the spirit, where you become one with everyone. So there are even levels above that. And when we did this meditation last week, using sound, to go into this place where we're all one, I got a glimpse of it. It's a place so unbelievably peaceful because all of your stuff, your issues, your everything about you, relationships, all your stuff is gone. It's gone. And you are in this place where you're like looking down at all of it. But you're in this place where you are in cosmic consciousness. You are in this place where you're connected with everybody. And it is such this powerful, consistent peace. It's unbelievable. It's like you definitely don't want to come back from that. And that's where we're all headed. That's the goal. But there are steps. You know, it's like, well, let's just go. Let's go. I'm ready to go. You know, let's go. What's the sound? What's the sound to get there? Well, the sound to get there is any sound that is consistent over eternity. So the trick is to find a consistent sound in yourself. And if you find a consistent sound, that consistent sound automatically will resonate with the consistency of spirit, the sound of spirit, and the consistency of that sound where we're all one. So, how do you get a consistent sound? From a sound healing perspective, the trick is to tone every day. And if you don't like toning, if you really can't get into it, too much work, then for $2,000 we can sell you a sound table and you can play tones on the sound table that are so powerful. I mean, like just like laying on a subwoofer, vibrate your insides inside and out. And that will put a consistent frequency in you. Alternatively is to find music that has a consistent root frequency that doesn't go very much away from the root frequency. So it's basically chanting or om. There's some really great CDs out there. One that I really like that I heard recently is a new one of just om by Stephen Halpern. Just a really sweet om. Jonathan Goldman has his CDs that have om, but Jonathan Goldman's are a little more intense. They're not, I mean, they're I mean, I don't mean intense in a bad way. I mean intense in that they're like, you know, as opposed to just a real soft sweetness that Stephen Halpern's doing, like, oh. There's also some CDs by Jeff Cozy that have a whole groups of people. Stephen Halpern has groups of people on his, too, of just ohms. But, you know, ohms are sometimes a little bit too simple, so I've got a CD based on root frequencies. We've got it in 12 different keys. And it's got a root frequency, a consistent frequency drone at the bottom that is playing the whole time. And then it's always based on octaves of that and a few fifths here and there to bring you back home. And so that's a really good CD. So, but, you know, I'm sure you if you look through your library, you'll find a CD you have that is consistently one key. Jazz. We're not talking jazz. Jazz goes from key to key. We're talking one consistent key and stays near the root frequency the whole time. That will help you. And then if you can just even if you just hum along with it. Or even if you don't want to hum, just hum in your mind with it. And that will build that consistent frequency in you that will help lead you into spirit. Into being one with everyone in the universe and the universe itself. Any of these sounds that we were talking about earlier, Tibetan bowls, crystal bowls, gongs, any natural sacred instruments from you know, from various countries. I mean, just any consistent sound that is not percussive will do it. Not the sirens we have going by. So, may you all find this clarity of mind that will then lead you into spirit, where we all know, not just think about, but we all know we are one. Because when we get to that place where we all are one, all conflict will be gone. Unless we just want to hurt ourselves. There will be no more war. There will be no more arguments with anybody, because all we have to do, as soon as we see any conflict coming, we tune into that place where we're one, and then we're working together to resolve anything that might be coming up. That's the foundation of any relationship, is where you see we're one. May we all meet there sooner than later. Take that energy into the evening, into the week, the rest of the weekend, into the rest of the week, into the rest of the month, to the rest of the year, into the rest of your lifetimes. Thank you for listening, and keep on humming. Take care.